Now, the Goldbergs. To Molly's relief, Mr. Allison, Sylvia's father, has arrived, ready, it seems, to take his daughter home. Not that Molly wants this, for Molly's become convinced that Sammy's salvation, and Sylvia's, lies in the careful hands of Dr. Christopher Cater, a psychiatrist who's treating these two young people. Sammy resents him, but Sylvia has begun to cooperate with him. And to Mr. Allison's amazement, the cooperation has gone far enough for Sylvia to say that she won't go home unless Dr. Cater tells her to. The tragic relation between Sammy and Sylvia, the personal crisis to which they have passed, is, of course, absent from the imagination of Jake and Mr. Allison. They're plain people. They refuse to believe in what's new. And Sammy's obstinate in his particular way, too.
I'm getting out of bed, Ma. And right now. Why do I have to be up here away from everybody and everything? I'm all right. Oh, there's nothing wrong with me, and nobody's going to make me believe there is. I'm all right. Get my slippers, Ma.
Yes. And if you feel strong enough.
Oh, you bet I'm strong enough.
So, right before you move, dear, I'll get you a red cloth and I'll dampen your face and you'll feel fresh. Please, Sammy, you'll just put on your bathrobe and then you'll come downstairs. Wait, dear.
All right. Ma, did Sylvia go with her father?
Yes, Sammy.
Please, Ma, don't pretend you don't know where he went. He went to Dr. Cater's, didn't he?
Well,
he did, didn't he?
I think that...
You don't think, you know.
Dr. Cater wanted to speak to Mr. Allison.
Well, there's going to be an end to all this speaking, Ma. It's going to be finished.
Oh.
He knows too much for me, and he wants to know too much.
Oh. Well,
he's got Sylvia eating out of his hands. Can't you see what he's doing to her? You think you can keep me locked away up here and have everything fixed and finished before you let me out?
Oh,
well, I'm as smart as all of them.
That's the one I meant. Bring it hither.
Give me my bathrobe.
Are you getting out of bed, Sammy?
Yes, yes, I'm getting out of bed. You don't want me to get up either. You don't want me to know what's going on either. Well, I know what's going on. I understand as well as all of you. I'm as smart as the all-knowing intellectual Dr. Cater.
He's only trying to help.
Well, I don't need any help. What's wrong with me that you all think I need help?
Sammy.
Get out.
What's going on here?
Nothing, Jake. Nothing. Go down there slowly, and I'll call you when I want you to help me take Pamela down.
You feel well enough to get up, Sammy?
Yes.
Your shoulder don't hurt you?
People walk around with their arms in a cast.
But you feel strong
yes,
enough?
Yes, yes, I feel strong enough. How many times do I have to say I feel strong enough? There's nothing wrong with me, nothing at all, you hear? I'm all right. Now, why don't you all leave me alone? If I want to get up, I'll get up.
Sammy, please yes. Go. Come, Rosie. We'll go down.
All right. Pamela, I'll just wash your face a little bit. Yes, yes. You always liked your face clean and your hands, too. Even when you was a little baby, before you could talk even, you always pulled my nails and showed me your hands and I knew what you wanted. Clean hands.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I want, Mama. Clean hands. My hands won't be clean until I'm married to Sylvia. I've got to marry her. I have to. Yes, and that's what she wanted, too, before this doctor confused her mind until she doesn't know what she wants anymore. Oh, Ma. Ma, this world is full of smart people like Dr. Cater, always ready to prescribe for the happiness of other people.
Yes,
what does he know about me? And what can he know about Sylvia? He's nothing but a pseudo-doctor anyhow. Well, what a fancy names for the ordinary feelings that people have. Well, whatever he tells Mr. Allison won't affect my life. I'll live just the way I feel.
All right, just let me stretch you. That's all, and then you'll see. You'll come down here, and then you'll see.
As Sammy talks on, proving with every word and action how sick he is, young Dr. Christopher Cater faces Sylvia's father across the desk in old Dr. Cater's office. Surrounded by the symbols of the profession of healing, this representative of the newest version of that profession finds that Mr. Allison has ideas of his own about Sylvia.
Excuse me, Dr. Cater, but you take for granted why I'm here.
Am I wrong? definitely that my daughter Sylvia hadn't said to me that she would only go back home with me if you told her to, I wouldn't be here now.
Oh.
And I've only come here to ask you what right you had to take her under your care without first consulting me.
You mean you object?
Wouldn't you if your daughter told you that only another man's word would release her?
She said that.
She did. And I came north to take her home.
To take her where, Mr. Ellison?
Home.
My understanding was that she didn't have a home.
What's that supposed to mean?
That she didn't have a home.
My home is her home.
I understood also that you didn't have one either.
I don't think I have to talk to you about that, Dr. Cater.
Certainly.
In fact, I want you to tell my daughter that you refuse to see her any longer.
What right have you to tell me what to do?
My daughter is underage. I'm her legal guardian.
Legal?
Yes.
I'm afraid that's all you are, Mr. Ellison, a legal guardian. A pretty bad one at that.
I beg your pardon.
Well, I'm not insulted, so you don't have to excuse yourself. You're a complete washout as a parent, Mr. Ellison.
Dr. Cater, who do you think you are? I came here to speak to you about what you did to my daughter.
You're like all the rest of the fools who are permitted to run loose and wreck the lives of the people they deal with.
If you'll excuse me for saying so, I don't think much of the opinion of a man who proposes the cure by magic. I'm practical.
You can't see beyond the end of your nose. Let me tell you a few things, Mr. Ellison, and then you can do as you like.
I have no time.
You'll have to listen. In the first place, let me introduce myself. I'm in charge of the Department of Psychiatry at the biggest hospital and medical school in America, and the one with the biggest reputation. I've testified in hundreds of cases at court as an expert, and no one, prosecution or defense, has ever questioned my opinion. My books are used in the study of mental aberration. I'm what is popularly known as a specialist. Is that clear?
That may be so.
It is so. And next, I took this case only because my father asked me to help one of his neighbors. I interfered with a hard-earned vacation to help someone who lived across the street. Your daughter happens to be involved in it. I started to treat her. Let me tell you, she's sick. Sick, ashamed, and heartbroken, ready to lose everything. Yes, her mind, you understand? A little more of you and Sammy Goldberg, and you'll have to keep your daughter in one of those tragic places where people who no longer resemble human beings are kept. And you, you're the main cause of everything. Well, you're as guilty as the man who takes a knife and kills someone. Because the knife of your past is raised over Sylvia's past. And I'm the one who has raised his hand to prevent it from falling. Is that clear? I'm busy, Mr. Ellis. Come back when you're ready to apologize. Meanwhile, I'll continue to treat Sylvia as I see fit and the way it should be done according to my judgment. You're nothing but a blind, medieval fool wrapped in the professional flag of the conventional parent. You're the symbol of the ignorance of well-meaning people who have brought so much misery in the world. The good life, Mr. Ellison, is not made by good intentions. May I tell you something else? Only knowledge and patient understanding can keep sanity and health in the world. Good afternoon.
Slowly, Mr. Ellison turns and leaves. Not cured of his folly, but deeply impressed. And Dr. Cater starts to march angrily up and down in his room, stirred a little by his own words and the pathetic picture of Sylvia Ellison.